welcome to the Whistleblower Newsroom. I'm Christina Borgeson with my co-host Celia Farber on the phone. Today we have a very different show because normally we bring on whistleblowers and investigators who talk about, who speak on behalf of humans. But today our guests will be speaking up for animals, specifically those brought in to populate Vincenzo and Eamon Covino's chain of interactive aquariums and petting zoos in malls, of all places, known as SeaQuest. But before I bring on our guests, one is a whistleblower, and he wants to remain anonymous for now, and the other is a detective slash animal activist. I want to talk a bit about SeaQuest. In advertisements, SeaQuest bills itself as, quote, adventure by land and by sea. Feed and hold animals from all over the world. Get your SeaQuest passport and prepare to make memories with family, friends, and your favorite animals. Close quote. That sounds great. But turns out SeaQuest may be an adventure for some, but it's a nightmare for the animals. The chain is not accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. It is subject to USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service and state wildlife agency regulations, but those agencies only regulate certain species, so SeaQuest can house other unregulated species. No license necessary. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, better known as PETA, have documented 87 brushes with the law that SeaQuest has had in 9 years. Nonetheless, the chain's marketing director, Elsa McDonald, describes SeaQuest's mission as a noble one. She says that the core function of SeaQuest facilities is primarily educational and concerned with spreading that conservation message through edutainment. Quote, one of the great features that we are bringing into the facility in Littleton, Colorado, she says, is an exhibit on aquaculture. In this, we really advocate the benefits of sustainable fish farming. We also teach about how overfishing is hurting our world and how there are better ways. Well, she talked about Littleton, Colorado. We have a news package dating back to, I think it's 2018, about that facility in Littleton, Colorado. Jess, could you play that clip for us, please? Hold on, we're just...
have a history in other states of cutting corners on animal care. The Fox 31 problem solvers took hidden cameras into their most recently opened store at the Southwest Plaza Mall and unfortunately found more of the same.
A promotional video produced by SeaQuest Interactive Aquarium markets to families getting to touch, interact with, and feed exotic wildlife, reptiles, sharks and stingrays, and turtles. After receiving numerous complaints about the place in a short amount of time, the Fox 31 problem solvers visited the Littleton branch. We wanted to see for ourselves how this operation keeps exotic animals safe while allowing the public direct contact. Some of the exhibits didn't look anything like what we saw in the SeaQuest commercial. We found a murky tank going through a bacteria bloom, smelly, filthy enclosures, including this capybara pen, and an escaped lizard wandering the concrete floor with a stampede of excited customers threatening its safety.
It was a very weird setup. It felt like a smaller, dingier, kind of gross aquarium.
Aaliyah Caldwell wasn't thrilled with her experience there. She saw what she perceived as stressed animals in a hands-on exhibit. That's actually something a SeaQuest aviary expert shared with our undercover crew.
They originally were allowed to let up to 12 people in at a time, and then they cut it down to 6.
Why did they cut it down?
So the cage is big enough, but the birds are getting stressed out because of how many people there were.
A Another example of potential animal welfare concerns is the fact Sequest encourages children to touch the stingray and sharks gently with two fingers. But our cameras found plenty of more vigorous activity.
It says a lot about the establishment. It says a lot about the fact that they aren't even prepared to do their best from the very beginning. And I think that is just horrible.
There's my boy. Come
Paula here. Fisher heard about Sequest from a neighbor, and the reviews were not good. She went to the mall to see the animals' living conditions for herself, armed with a camera. After asking about a python's apparent lack of water and sharing concerns about this employee scattering birds by swiping at them with an industrial dustpan, Sequest had mall security kick her out.
Sequest has asked us to have you leave.
Why?
I'm not at liberty to say it. I just need to.
Can you find the person that asked that?
It doesn't really matter. We need you to leave.
Security marched me not only out of Sequest, but out of the entire mall. So I couldn't go in any other store. Me and my friends had to leave.
On her way, escorted by two guys with badges, Fisher's video shows her walking past a Sequest employee who covered his name tag.
Sir? Sir? Hi, is there a reason that you're kicking me out?
With Sequest only open for 1 week, inspectors were concerned enough to fail the facility. Finches, no access to food and water, macaws in makeshift cages that all had violations, and a lack of protection for these birds from getting stepped on as the public walks through them on the ground. Sequest also failed its second follow-up inspection 2 weeks after the initial failure.
It's kind of like a carnival. There are people working there and there's people standing there working there, but you can't tell someone's kid, hey, don't pick up that wallaby by the tail. Don't chase that animal. Because that's not what people are going there for. People are going there to have their child entertained by a wild animal.
Ag records also reveal a Sequest employee illegally possessed a sloth and two capybaras. Bringing them into Colorado without a license is unlawful. We also learned the animals stayed in a residential basement until permits could be sorted out. Fisher believes that kind of flagrant disregard for animal welfare rules should make aquarium goers think twice about where their money is going when they pay for an entry into Sequest.
If you want your child to interact with an animal, find a rescue and go volunteer there. They all would be happy to have you.
Now, we have been trying to get Sequest to respond for a week, but they denied our repeated requests for an on-camera interview and so far haven't sent a statement.
So, that's in Littleton, Colorado. But this is going on all over the country. And to wit, our two guests, our first one, well, his introduction is going to be short and sweet because he's a former Sequest employee and a whistleblower who doesn't want to be publicly identified or too specifically described. He will say that he has 16 years of experience with animal keeping and saw firsthand what was going on at Sequest when he worked there. He says he saw blatant animal abuse and unsanitary conditions that threatened the well-being of the animals as well as the health of visiting children. And he was at a facility in the Northeast Corridor, let's say. So welcome, sir. By the way, how do you want us to address you? Give us a fake name or something.
You just call me John, like a John Doe.
Okay, John. So welcome, John. Our second guest is a private detective and an animal activist who obviously adores animals. Anna Campos has been up front and in Sequest's face for a while now down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. She's licensed by the state of Florida and an active member of the Florida Association of Licensed Investigators. She's been recognized as Outstanding Activist of the Year and Top Influential Female Private Investigator. She loves animals and advocates for stronger cruelty to animals laws. Obviously, there aren't very many good ones on the books. She'll talk about that. Through her agency, she has spoken up for, helped, and rescued injured animals. She testifies against animal abusers and has read victim statements on behalf of deceased abused animals. When Sequest announced in June 2018 that they were going to open a location in Fort Lauderdale, Campos organized protests, attended city meetings, emailed and called city officials, and finally got PETA's attention, and she joined them in the Animal Rights Foundation of Florida in filing a lawsuit challenging the city's issuance of Sequest zoning permit. Welcome, Anna. Is Anna there?
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I'm here. Thank you.
So, first of all, I'd like to ask John to talk about what you saw at the facility that you worked at.
Yeah, I saw a lot of mistreatment of animals. I saw more of a, let's just get as much in there as possible and expect a huge die-off, which is usually
a huge die-off? Did you say die-off?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
They overbuy fish. They buy maybe a tank can hold 1,000 fish. They'll buy 5,000, expecting most of them to die off anyways. It's usually not the protocol for these kind of things.
What is the protocol?
Usually the protocol is that there would be maybe a small percentage of the fish dying during transport. Maybe out of 1,000 fish, you have 10 that might die. But usually, if they all come in alive, they stay alive. Most of the time, you put them into a quarantine tank, and from there, you monitor them for a week, and then you put them back into the normal tank, and you'll have very little die-off, if any, from this.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So what kind of abuse did you see?
I saw the most prevalent was, I believe, the black tip sharks that were very sensitive creatures. So you have to acclimate them very slowly. You have to use the right chemicals in the water to calm them down, and you have to put them into where they're going to be without any light, usually, just to keep them calm and relaxed until they could adjust to their new environment.
Right.
That's the normal protocol. What they did instead was move them 2 to 3 times. They did not use the proper priming chemicals to prime the water with. So they were extremely stressed. And while I saw them putting in one of the aquariums, they kept bumping into the corals and their noses were all bloody.
Okay.
And I went to the guy, one of the managers, I said, we got to turn off the lights. We got to do something because they're very stressed. This is a normal. Everyone else was just kind of going along with it. Most people there have a PetSmart level experience, so they don't know much about animal behaviors or about more exotic animals like sharks. So when I told them to turn off the lights, they turned it off for 5 minutes, and then they turned them back on because they said they couldn't have the lights off while they were doing construction. Mind you, all of this acclimating and fish coming in was happening during an active construction zone. So a lot of debris in the air, a lot of light, a lot of noises, a lot of vibrations, not the environment for acclimating fish at all.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so they ended up dying, and we tried to, at the end, people tried to hold the shark and kind of move them through the water so they could breathe, because that's the last thing you do. And essentially, the sharks died in their hands, so everyone was really depressed. We had some people crying about it.
My manager was like,
I will order a new one.
So, Anna, talk to us about Fort Lauderdale.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there were animals in there during construction. They're having a lot of problems. This is typical for Vince Covino. He hires folks that, like as the gentleman said, with PetSmart level experience, and then some have more experience, and the ones that have more experience are usually horrified by what's going on. But Vince Covino himself has less than PetSmart experience. He's just a failed securities broker that had been disciplined, and I think he had a construction company, or he was into construction. He himself is clueless. He's not a very smart person at all, and it is very much about greed and pushing employees to their limits and squeezing as much money as he can
I'm sorry. I think we just, did we just lose Anna?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Okay. So I lost you for a minute there.
Oh, sorry. The bottom line is Vince Covino is it's all about greed, and he's a very ignorant person who has no experience with aquatic animals or animals in general.
So
we'll push employees.
He was quoted as saying, quote, if you work in an aquarium for a year and you don't see deaths, then your eyes aren't open. Animals die in nature as well as inside aquariums. This doesn't indicate that it was a preventable death. But he will not disclose how many animals have died at SeaQuest. So when I was speaking to you before, John, you mentioned that these animals come from questionable places.
Yeah, the sharks came from a private gentleman. I'm not exactly sure where they got it from. They don't buy from big companies. They buy kind of whoever has it, they'll take it from. So we aren't sure about shipping dates. We aren't sure about where the animals came from, whether they're wild caught or captive bred, which, as a side note, it's always better to have captive bred than wild caught. As aquariums, we usually try to breed as many fish as we can to get to that.
Why is that more important? Why is captive bred better?
Captive bred have been, usually because they're captive and bred in aquariums, they're used to it, they're less stressed, they're also less likely to bring parasites or diseases from the outside, and it's just a more ethical way of keeping fish. You don't want to take a fish away from its natural habitat.
So Anna, talk to us about what you've been doing in what prompted you to start this fight against SeaQuest in Fort Lauderdale, and what the status of that fight is right now.
I think it was more shock than anything else to hear that a unaccredited roadside petting zoo wanted to place 1,200 animals inside our local shopping mall. It's not normal, you know, and we were talking about marine animals, but there's a lot of farm animals that are involved with this company. So it isn't just an aquarium. They actually changed how they're branding themselves now, and they refer to themselves as a petting zoo / aquarium interactive experience. I don't agree with captivity in general, but I specifically do not agree with 1,200 all in a 20,000, I guess, square foot space in the corner of a mall for the rest of their lives, you know, living on AstroTurf and whatnot. And when I looked at the company a couple of years ago when this happened, you know, there was some very concerning issues that have been documented at some of the other locations, and kind of how
could you give us some specifics about you know, what you heard about what was going on in other areas?
When it was 2018, I remember we were Googling who is this company that's decided that they're coming to Fort Lauderdale with this kind of a circus nightmare for animals. And I think that it was, I don't know if it was Las Vegas had already opened. I kind of want to say that it was Las Vegas was one of their first aquariums under the SeaQuest name. And they've only, even though, you know, you mentioned that they were open for 9 years, they've only caused all this damage, really, at SeaQuest in 4 years. They opened in 2016, I think, or the end of 2015, with a couple of aquariums. Their prior aquariums were under different names. But they were still involved. The Covino brothers were still involved with the in the aquarium business together. There were issues. I believe it was I had read about a death log at one of their prior aquariums.
A death
their
log.
Employees. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. That there were hundreds of animals that had died, and then that aquarium ended up shutting down, as did their first aquarium, due to a federal criminal arrest of the brother for wildlife trafficking in Florida. There were major issues in Las Vegas where an octopus was boiled to death in her tank due to negligence.
Oh.
An otter was... to death, and you know, there was, I guess, blood and guts everywhere. They make their own DIY type of tanks. I had thought that they were professionally made from a tank company, but it's typically unlicensed handymen who come in from out of state and rig up these makeshift tanks, and they're not very well.
I'm sorry, you're cutting out. You're cutting out. What did you say? They make the these makeshift tanks and what?
Can you hear me now?
No, it's you're cutting out. Okay, so while we try and get Anna back on a better line, speaking of Las Vegas, I was reading this article on that, and one of their employees, Leanne Spencer, said, quote, "I don't know where they purchased their animals from, but they didn't look healthy. There were also animals that weren't fed properly so that they would eat when customers fed them. I once saw a stingray try to eat another stingray because it was so hungry." So did you see that kind of stuff too, John?
Yeah, definitely. They underfed them. I was always confused by that. I tried to feed them the appropriate amount, and they would stop me and tell me it has to be less than that. Because I've worked with a lot of these animals before, so I know with the density and stuff like that, it was insane. I didn't know how it was going to work. But they said, oh, they'll feed them. The public will feed them. It's fine. But without a proper feeding schedule for some of the animals, they'll start becoming aggressive. They start becoming, you know, they eat each other because they don't know when they're going to get their next meal. We have... sharks, I know you're supposed to feed the sharks, even though they're sand sharks or cat sharks or the smaller sharks, you're supposed to feed them away from the public because if they smell blood or fish in the water, they will become aggressive and more likely to bite or jump out. And these people don't do that. They just feed everything at once, anytime during the day. So all the fish are aggressive, angry. I know their iguanas and other stuff are underfed. I've seen pictures of them with babies trying to pose with iguanas, and iguanas can easily bite off a finger or in these hands, a complete hand if they want to. I mean, I've seen stuff like that happen before. You're never supposed to bring children around iguanas that are hungry or aggressive at all, and they're just letting people run around and handle these animals. Same thing with the farm animals. Keep them indoors, underfeed them. Another story is of like a kid getting bit by a pig and the pig not letting go because he's hungry.
Oh,
and
my God.
Ducks and stuff eating drywall. It's
what?
Yeah, I agree. There's no...
Who's eating... what? Eating ducks. Drywall? What?
Ducks eating drywall because they're so hungry and also stressed. The stress can cause that as well. But I don't believe that any type of farm animals or exotic animals should be kept an indoor area with no air, no ventilation, no direct sunlight. You know, they're all in a closed-off space. Honestly, I was...
I don't understand how this can be legal. How can this be... I mean, because
I wanted to ask a question pertaining to that.
Go ahead.
I had two questions for now. One is, first of all, did you have a breaking point that you remember the moment when you said, I'm out of here and I'm going to... the whistle?
It was actually during the first day.
What did you say during the first what?
During the first day. I saw when we got the fish in and how they were acclimating them and all this stuff, I thought to myself, this is not how you're supposed to do it. There was a moment when they were acclimating seahorses the wrong way, and they were all dying.
Oh, it's so heartbreaking. I mean, God bless you for what you're doing. But that connects to my next question, which is, what was your first thought about who to call and what help is there for these animals? Isn't there a federal agency? Is it the, what are they called, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services? What help is there from the government, first of all, for this kind of situation? Because generally speaking, my sense is, maybe I'm totally naive, that this is very serious stuff, animal trafficking. Like, for example, there was a Native American tribe that got indicted and served long prison sentences, and rightly so, for, what was it? It had something to do with eagles. Does that ring a bell? Eagles, eggs. I don't remember the details, but my sense is that the government takes this very seriously. Am I right or wrong about that? Sounds like I'm wrong.
They should be. As they've mentioned before, Sequest is not a part of the, I forgot exactly.
Association of Zoos and Aquariums. Yeah.
Exactly, because I've been to other aquariums. I have a lot of friends that work in other aquariums, and the standard here is nowhere near what it's supposed to be. And it seemed very, I didn't understand how things kept going. I really, truly didn't. The police were involved in a case of locking cats up in a closet. I've seen police reports on that. It was a bunch of things where, you know, everyone was just fighting. I remember a lot of the employees, again, anyone who had more experience than PetSmart, and even some people with PetSmart experience but just cared about animals, were constantly fighting with management, constantly arguing, constantly trying to, like, defend these animals. And they have
John,
a high turnover.
Can't you go to the FBI? Can't they just raid these people, you know, tomorrow morning? Like, I don't understand. This is really serious stuff you're talking about. And it's against the law.
Well,
yeah, definitely against the law.
Well, I think Anna is back, right? Anna, are you back?
I am back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would like Anna to address that because, you know, as I had mentioned before in my intro, Sequest is subject to USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, and there are also state wildlife agencies that have regulations. But apparently those only regulate certain species, which doesn't make sense to me. Anna, could you talk about that and the work that you've done on trying to get laws, new laws on the books for animals to protect them?
Well, first I'll tell you that the USDA is sometimes kind of useless. I mean, they only are able to inspect 1% of the meat that is processed in this country, and I believe that there was some major financial cuts that took place a few months ago, and there's even far less inspectors. So the ability of the USDA to inspect Sequest is, it's kind of hampered, and they move very slowly. I know that there is an open investigation into Sequest with the USDA. Congressman Ted Deutch, who is our congressman here in South Florida, he had asked the USDA to open an investigation, and they finally got around to it. What will come of it? Who knows? Usually it's a slap on the wrist with most bureaucracy. There's a lot of red tape, and their hands are usually tied. U.S. Fish and Wildlife, I think, in Florida is very, very proactive. So I can't speak for the other states because they're all different fish and wildlife in all the different states. But it's difficult sometimes with state agencies as well, where their hands are tied, and it's about fines and violations. And as you can see with Colorado and Las Vegas, Sequest, They had a cease and desist. They had multiple violations. They had multiple fines to the point where their license was revoked for 2 years, I believe, in Colorado. On the surface, to us, you know, it's not good enough. We want them shut down. But behind the scenes, Colorado, and from what I heard, Colorado and Las Vegas are suffering financially as the two worst performing locations because of, and I don't know if it's true, this is what I hear. I hear tips. I have whistleblowers that constantly call me and are working with me and have provided me with a tremendous amount of information. So if Sequest goes down, it is to credit the whistleblowers who spoke up, like John, and others like him that are filing complaints with certain agencies and not being afraid of, you know, anything. I mean, you're protected. But from what I've heard is that there are a couple of locations that are suffering financially and unable to stand on their own, and that causes a ripple effect throughout the whole organization. He's terminated many, many employees, including Elsa McDonald, who you quoted.
Yeah.
She was fired. She was fired in December.
Oh, I quoted Leanne Spencer, not Elsa McDonald. But yeah.
Oh, I thought Elsa had Elsa was in charge of the marketing, I believe. Oh. And Vince Covino fired his entire marketing department in December, along with, you know, a national husbandry director.
Oh, Elsa McDonald, the national. Oh, yes, I did quote her. Oh, he fired her?
He fired her. Mm-hmm.
Is it because she said something, or just because he was getting rid of
He got rid of his, because nobody's good enough and nothing is good enough for Vince Covino, and no matter what, these are people that are much more intelligent than him and have helped lead the organization, and some of the marketing has been very slick, I got to tell you. Like, I'm glad you said something, because the marketing does not match the reality when you walk in. What you walk into is just a really Mickey Mouse kind of operation that's been thrown together with some glue and some duct tape, and they are getting animals off of Craigslist and that are free to good home, and they're throwing them into this enclosure and they're acquiring them in very sketchy different ways. But he got rid of a lot of employees, and
first of all, it sounds like he's opening up locations still. I mean, I see he's going to open up in Lynchburg, Virginia, in Roseville, Minnesota, Trumbull, Connecticut, and of course Westfield, New Jersey. That Westfield was brought to my attention by my much beloved yoga teacher and animal activist, Denise Morgan, who told me about Westfield and has been going out there and demonstrating, and her group is getting bigger and bigger every day as they more and more people learn about, you know, Sequest's track record. So
yeah, he has 9 locations that are already opened, and Fort Lauderdale is his last location for now because of, I suppose, from what I hear, is financial problems. But we've delayed the construction for 2 years, and there's a lot of unhappy customers in Fort Lauderdale that are demanding refunds and calling him a scammer.
Wait a second. What do you mean unhappy customers? The thing hasn't even opened, has it?
It hasn't even opened yet. And his base here of folks that bought these magical, you know, pre-sale, he didn't even disclose really on the tickets that Sequest wasn't open. They bought these tickets thinking that Sequest was open, and then they never opened, and he keeps changing the date. For 2 years, he's changed the date, and he'll say, you know, we're definitely opening. Now it's spring, summer 2020, and last month it was April, And then the month before, it was supposed to be December. And it's this whole game of, it's like a shell game. He just keeps moving stuff around, and he throws that spin, that PR spin out there, and people get suckered in to his false and deceptive advertising. And unfortunately for Vince, we're pretty savvy down here as far as laws and things that are fraud in, of a fraudulent nature. So several people have filed complaints about false and deceptive advertising and buying tickets and his refusal to refund passes and just not communicate and say that they're opening and they're not opening for 2 years. So complaints were filed with the Attorney General, and I know that there is an open complaint with the Florida Attorney General. And there are complaints with state agencies. And I just think it's an effort that's needed from current employees that are inside Sequest. Need to be able to speak up with no fear because they are protected as whistleblowers, and they should reach out to myself or to reach out to one of the established campaigns on Facebook. It's easy to find. You just type in No Sequest or Shut Down Sequest, and you know, we all have pages on Facebook, and we are all speaking with current employees and former employees. But filing these complaints does cause some damage, and it may take a while, but I think that the writing is on the wall. At least I hope that it is, that this man will not be able to continue to hurt animals and hurt his employees the way that he is hurting them. Well, and it's no joke at all.
I wonder if I could ask you a question. World. There was that big documentary. I couldn't bring myself to see it. About the orcas, right? A few years ago.
Hey,
right.
Celia.
Yeah.
You're talking about that? Let's play the trailer to that film so that people can hear what Celia is about to talk about.
When you look into their eyes, you know somebody is home.
They're an animal that possesses great spiritual power, not to be meddled with.
Orange County Sheriff's Office.
We need SO to respond for a dead person at SeaWorld. A whale has eaten one of the trainers.
Tilikumbo is the one that went after her.
Don is the senior trainer here at Shamu Stadium.
She captured what it means to be a SeaWorld trainer, that it made me realize what happened to her really could have happened to anyone.
I've been expecting somebody to be killed by Tilikum.
We weren't told much about it, other than it was trainer error.
It didn't just happen. It's not a singular event. You have to go back to understand this.
The speedboat herded them in, and they could just pick out the young ones.
This is the worst thing that I've ever done.
When Tilikum arrived at SeaWorld, he was twice as large as the next animal.
We stored these whales in what we call a module, which was 20 feet across and 30 feet deep, and the lights were all turned out.
Probably led to what I think is a psychosis.
Whales in captivity are all psychologically traumatized. It's not just Tilikum.
If you were in a bathtub for 25 years, don't you think you'd get a little psychotic?
Dawn would tell you that it was her mistake.
They blamed her.
It's just a bold-faced lie.
I was just instructed to get rid of the day.
The industry has a vested interest in spinning these. That sells a lot of Shamu dolls. It sells a lot of tickets at the gate.
There's no record of an orca doing any harm in the wild.
So go ahead, Celia.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. I just have to collect myself. I'm crying. So my question was, this. After that, that was a big impact, shock in film. Did anything change for those orcas at SeaWorld?
Well, I believe that they got rid of their breeding program. They're still there in captivity. They weren't released. There was a lot of negativity generated and a lot of publicity generated, and SeaWorld got hit financially.
But
in the long run,
you know, and hoping people will forget. Is that basically the cycle? Like, they're still in business, obviously, right? I mean, I would know. I actually, my mother, who was Swedish, never allowed us to go to any zoo, petting zoo, circus, nothing.
So,
good.
It's weird that, but like, are they still, how can they still, in other words, they were hit financially, people stopped going, and now they're recovering, people are forgetting. Is that essentially what's happening?
I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
sometimes you don't really know what's happening.
But
I'm thinking
take these people down, you know, for good, because this is an absolute atrocity.
Yeah, like, I know.
I mean,
Go ahead.
There were protests. I'd love to bring this up. I'm sorry. There were protests against Ringling Brothers for decades and decades and decades, and it just seemed like sometimes there was no progress made. And then, you know, little by little, folks were doing things like passing local ordinances banning the bullhook. So Ringling could not come through certain cities on that train with all those animals because of local laws. And then it finally got to the point where they just they recognized that public interest had changed and elephants performing were not attractive at all, or animals performing, and so they released the elephants, and then they tried to go on without the elephants, and then a year later, they folded, and it was a great day. So sometimes
hallelujah.
On the surface, it may not look like there's progress, but I think that there's a tremendous progress being made with SeaWorld, and then, you know, people like SeaQuest pop up, and in my opinion, I mean, it's a little controversial, but I genuinely believe that SeaQuest is far worse than SeaWorld ever would be.
Wow. These animals
are
neglected. Something just came to me
neglected.
Very strongly, and I want to just say this. I believe that the real change comes with educating, humanizing, and sensitizing parents,
yeah,
to do what my mother did, to say this is not how we're going to, this is not entertainment. These are not toys. These are not, there's so much propaganda and social engineering and behavioral control. You can, you know, everywhere, right? That should be the next one. And I would be all over it. Teach parents through the schools, start early in the preschools, like make it shameful. We are in the era of, you know, mass programs of shaming about all kinds of things. This should be shameful. It's shameful to teach your kids to. I know it sounds like I'm blaming the parents. They're part of this spell because this is just done in our society. But it should be absolutely not a thing, you know, in
well,
a few years.
Well, not only that, and John, I'd like to ask you to address this. Isn't it dangerous for kids to be in these malls petting these animals who are being kept under these circumstances? I mean, could you give us examples of how it can be dangerous?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first off, the ventilation in a mall is not built for live animals. So it's very confined, very kind of, you know, smelly. They have to fight this by just spraying air freshener in the air, and it doesn't help against bacteria.
Ugh.
And with the coronavirus and with viruses, because the coronavirus is just the virus that adapted with other viruses, kind of creating a super virus. An area with so many exotic animals in poor, sick conditions, because I've seen parasites and poop and all this stuff, knowing that these things are dangerous. They gave away the three goats because the goats had parasites and were doing like terrible. Like all of this coming around, the kids are not safe. These animals are aggressive. It's filled with diseases and like filth, you know, and it's in a small area without circulation. So it's very easy for a kid to get sick. It's very easy for a kid to get hurt physically. And any open wound, you know, you can get infected before they even have a chance to go wash it in one of the washing stations they say they have.
Oh, my God.
So honestly, it's very dangerous. They teach enough about this. They let people run around everywhere. The two-finger method with petting animals never happens because they're taught.
Wait, I'm sorry. You just cut out. What, the two-finger method? What is the two-finger method, and why is it that it doesn't work?
It's supposed to be requiring other stuff.
We're having a sound issue with you for some reason. I don't know why.
May I ask, until we get John's sound back, Anna, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
Getting close to being out of time, what can people do? What can people do who have heard this show and just want to help? And can they go?
They can always turn to social media and just support our campaigns. And I'll tell you that the outrage in Woodbridge, New Jersey, really was shocking because we've kind of been traipsing along for a couple of years, and you know, each one of the locations has had, you know, a moment in the news, but the outrage coming from the parents and the customers and residents in New Jersey was really overwhelming, and it just, that in itself helps. You know, even the New Jersey news reached down here to Fort Lauderdale, and there were folks down here that were like, oh yeah, I heard about Sequest in New Jersey, they better not, you know, open up down here. So obviously sharing and liking and supporting pages, but really employees that are currently inside Sequest can make a huge difference by picking up the phone and either calling some of these anti-Sequest campaigns for support or for guidance. We have a strategic plan behind the scenes that we don't generally announce because we want everything to be a nice big fat surprise for Vince Covino, but there's federal agencies that would love to hear from current employees, and they're protected as whistleblowers. There's the USDA, but more importantly is OSHA. So OSHA is another one because there are major safety issues taking place in these facilities. And as much as I love animals, I do love people as well. I mean, sometimes I love animals more than people, but these employees, the stories that I've heard have been horrific, as if this is a third world country where no rules apply about safety checks at work or keeping certain chemicals away and keeping employees from climbing on very dangerous areas. There are rules in place in this country to protect workers. And those workers at Sequest, they are not protected. They are by law, but not by Vince Covino. Never.
Have they never been sued? Mm-mm. Why didn't anybody sue them?
Not yet. He is being sued. He fired a pregnant employee in Texas, and she sued him. And that's open right now in federal court in Texas, in whatever district that is, in the Pacer website. You could probably look it up. I don't know what the latest is, but she was a long-term employee that Vince Covino fired, and she said he discriminated against her because I guess that she was pregnant and she was a female, and I 100% believe that that's true, and that seems to be a running theme at SeaQuest is some of the female employees are treated very differently than the male employees, and there is a lot of sexual harassment.
Oh my God! On top of animal abuse
that have taken place, they have, and I've heard about them, and I won't go into all the details because these women, they deserve their privacy, but they have to find their voice and speak out about what has happened to them, because there is no protection there for them. There just isn't, and they have to beg and plead and things that, you know, it's 2020. There's a whole Me Too movement. There's a whole, you know, we're all speaking up and speaking out about so many things, especially sexual harassment in the workplace. And for some reason, SeaQuest, it's like 1923, and, you know, he's got the youngest, most impressionable kids working there. He's got minors that are working there and in different locations.
How old?
I heard that there were minors. I heard he also gets kids to come in and volunteer for free. He gets his free cheap labor like that. But I would imagine that some states, you know, it's different in every state, and they have different age requirements for working and how many hours a week you could probably work as a 17-year-old or a 16-year-old. But there's definitely minors that work at SeaQuest, and the, you know, he hires them young for a reason, because he can bully them and scare them and use scare tactics and force them to sign NDAs and threaten them and tell them,
so when
you
work
all kinds of ugly things.
Wait a second. When you work at SeaQuest, you have to sign an NDA?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And there's really, you know what, honestly,
that's a non-disclosure agreement for our audience.
Right. Well, if anybody has this fear, just reach out. There's these campaigns, like myself, I have helped many employees move past this. Vince Covino is nothing. He's nothing. He is, his bark is worse than his bite, and he's not going to do anything about anything. And as a whistleblower, you have every single right in the world to speak up against an illegal activity that you're seeing, no matter if it's against an animal or if it's against you. Like, nobody should be working in these types of conditions. They're all traumatized. I mean, John's telling you a story that they're crying about the black tip shark, and, like, you know, it's horrifying.
This happens what you're telling us
all the time.
In the little remaining time that we have, the first thing I want to do is I want to give the number to OSHA's 24-hour hotline. That number, OSHA's 24-hour hotline number, is 1-800-321-6742. The USDA has, first of all, you can go to usda.gov, and they have an OIG hotline. They have several numbers. The USDA number, first one is 1-800-424-9121, or you can call 202-869-9984. Those are whistleblower hotlines. So anybody wants to blow the whistle on SeaQuest and wants to do it big time, call the USDA and call the OSHA hotlines and tell them what's going on, because otherwise, this guy's going to keep opening up. I mean, first of all, just the idea.
He sounds like he has psychopathic traits very clearly.
It feels like it.
Well, what's weird to me is, I mean, just think about it for a minute. A zoo in a mall? It's just wild animals in a mall? That just makes...
1980.
You know. What did you say,
Jen? I want to ask a quick... are we out of time? Can I ask a super quick question of Anna? PETA,
mm-hmm.
If you had, on a scale of 1 to 10, if 1 is useless and 10 is very effective, we love them, they'll help us, where would you rate PETA?
What, I didn't hear the question at the end.
would you rate PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, as a useful, helpful organization in a situation like this? Or have they become so big and bloated that they're not?
No. I would rate them a 20. My personal experience, I've never, I'm kind of like an independent activist, and this is the way that I've always operated. And when you know that they are the most powerful animal rights organization in the world, and they have at their disposal, I mean, hundreds of lawyers, a first-class legal team, and a lot of money. This is what they do best, is file lawsuits and go after animal abusers legally, and they change laws.
Well, they need to focus more on Sequest. Listen, we're running out of time, so
we got to tell Gary Null about this.
He's a
big animal lover. Yeah. He'll help you. Let's stay in touch. We don't want to let this.
Thank you.
End
yeah,
right here.
Anna and yeah. John, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate your work. And more people need to have the guts to stand up for the animals and to put the time and energy into doing it, because obviously it's a huge problem. So.
Yeah. Yes, thank you both so much.
And thank you, John. There's a lot of employees like John. He's not alone. So that's great.